You are now listening to Discover Your Potential with renowned radio talk show host and certified holistic practitioner, Cindy Gilman. So listen, participate, be inspired. Know that you can discover your potential. Here she is, Cindy Gilman.
Well, a very good Sunday afternoon to all of you. I'm going to read something. Love. Love takes time. It needs a history of giving and receiving, laughing and crying. Love never promises instant gratification, only ultimate fulfillment. Love means believing in someone, in something. It supposes a willingness to struggle, to work, to suffer, and to rejoice. Satisfaction and ultimate fulfillment are byproducts of dedicated love. They belong only to those who can reach beyond themselves, to whom giving is more important than receiving. Love is doing everything you can to help others build whatever dreams they have. Love involves much careful and active listening. It is doing whatever needs to be done. Love is a choice and commitment to others, true and lasting happiness. It is dedicated to growth and fulfillment. Love is not selfish. It does not attach conditions. Genuine love is always a free gift. Love is a commitment to growth, to happiness, and fulfillment of one another. Well, a very good weekend to all of you. I'm Cindy Gilman, and this program, Discover Your Potential, is here to inspire, enlighten, encourage, and motivate you to look within and to listen to our guests talk about their journey, their creative process, and how the universe pointed them in a direction to live up to their potential. Sometimes we may be working or living in what we think is the right place, or even in a relationship that may be hurtful or dysfunctional, but the fear of making a change keeps us there. Then somehow we get a little nod, a little wink, a little sign from the universe that points us in the right direction. And we realize there is something more we are to do. I found myself in that case as well. So you'll have an opportunity to share your story, as well as speak to my guest, who I know you're going to love. Our phone number to call in, hope you have your pen ready, 888-627-6008. I'll repeat it, 888-627-6008. And of course, I want to thank you, our audience, for listening to the podcast after. And yes, the podcasts are listed on iTunes, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, and I know my son will tell me I missed one. So this is an interesting month, February. Not only is it National Heart Health Month, but it's also Valentine's Day, another matter of the heart. So I hope you're with your Valentine, or if you don't have a Valentine, do something sweet for yourself. It's been an interesting week here in the States. President Trump was acquitted. The Democrats are having a field day, and so on and so on. And we just had a little snow shower here in New England. Today, My guest is world-renowned medium Robert Brown. My friend, my colleague, it is with great respect and admiration I welcome you to BBS Radio. Hello, Robert.
It's been a long time. We've been friends for so long now. I was trying to think back when we first met.
We met about 17 years ago, and it was after that devastating Station nightclub fire. And
Rhode Island, yes.
Yes, it was one of the worst tragedies here, and probably one of the worst fires in this country. Over 100 people were taken because of that fire. And interestingly, they never mention the repercussions. Had a woman in the office whose husband was one of the EMTs who had such tremendous PTSD. He took his own life afterwards. And an older woman whose son was killed in the fire, and she was making a funeral. Her daughter brought her to the office and said her husband was so distraught, he had a massive heart attack, and she ended up having to plan two funerals. But you and I met at the home of Dave Kane.
Yeah.
And it was such a pleasure to meet you, and I said, this is an authentic medium. I think those of us who are mediums kind of, you know, we know of mediums, we know of people who have been, well, maybe not aware, but have had the ability since they were very young.
Right.
And yes?
Yeah. No, I remember Dave Keynes, and you say about the repercussions. Of course, what happened was certainly nothing anyone anticipated or would have wanted. But I know, of course, it had not only personally a profound effect on Dave Kane, but it led him, didn't it, in a whole different direction.
Yes,
to where he was.
It
I think
did.
You were instrumental in introducing him to quite a few people, including me.
And then he wrote his book, 41 Signs of Hope. And
that would be a very interesting book for and the film, isn't it, for a lot of people to see, especially explaining and identifying the different signs that people mm-hmm. often feel that they get. It's quite remarkable how they got that number 41 so many times, and it's a great film.
We're both in that documentary, and we're both in the book. And it's interesting because, you know, I was thinking about it last night, and Nicky, before he perished in the fire, he had said to his brother, I want to sing the songs from Carousel. And I was thinking about one of the songs, and one of the songs is called You'll Never Walk Alone. And the line that struck me was, go on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. And Dave's book is called 41 Signs of Hope.
Right. But it is really, you know, many people believe and do have experiences of signs or symbols that they believe come from their loved ones, and often true. But this is a documented whole lot of incidences that kind of fell into place even after the incident, where they recollected how many times that sign came to them.
Exactly.
I mean, beyond what anyone could ever say coincidence. And Dave himself Dave and Joanne, are not people, I would say, prior to this happening, would necessarily have gone to mediums, you know.
Right.
Dave's a very funny guy, but this was something that really got his
attention. Pointed him in a different direction.
Yeah, which is what he's done with it and how he's gone on to help other people. And, you know, especially parents who have lost children.
Right.
It's really quite amazing. I mean, you know, Dave was a comedian. And, you know,
there is a soft and serious side to him as well.
Yeah, right. And but it's incredible, as you said, something happens, and it's what you make of it and how you deal with it.
Now, were you having experiences as a medium when you were very young?
Yes. Yes, I wasn't aware of what they were. My poor mother, when I was very young, I'm pretty sure, and on more than one occasion later said to me, oh, I wish you'd be quiet, because I would just blurt things out. I knew some people weren't going to be around too long. I didn't know how or why, but for me at that time, some people had a sort of a grayness around them, a dark brown lifeless colouring around them, whereas most others had all these colours, which at the time, of course, 5 years of age, I didn't know what they were. I just knew, and
right.
I would blurt out, oh, so-and-so is not going to be around for so long. Well, of course, now, of course, we know it's the aura. I didn't know. So I was seeing these things and was quite sensitive to them from a very early age. But it took a long time, a lot of questioning, a lot of doubt, a lot of studying, a lot of classes, lots of nosiness. I think you've got to be extremely nosy to be a medium to find out things yourself.
I remember
question
as a kid,
everything.
I remember as a kid, I was constantly putting my psychic foot in my mouth. We were at a family gathering at my father's family, and I walked up to a great uncle, my Uncle Nathan. And I said, oh, Uncle Nathan, I'm so sorry you're going to have a heart attack next week. Well, my mother pulled me away and said, now you sit down on that couch and don't say another word to anyone.
And don't you think that's what a lot of people, as we're developing, and I believe when people say, oh, I'm a medium, I think we're constantly developing. We never stop developing, but that's what a lot of people need to do before they're launched or before they're working as mediums, is to develop, you know, the tact, the caring, and all the things that need to go with without us blurting. Because I've said this many a time. I had a teacher who once said, you know, mediumship is like the surgeon's scalpel. In the hands of the trained, it can create marvelous things, and in the untrained, it can make a bloody mess. And I think most people don't realize it's wonderful to be able to do these things. It's amazing to be able to relate to certain things, but you also need to learn the responsibility of it. And I'm not sure these days if everyone's willing to.
The discipline, and the discipline of how to let go of certain feelings or let go of things that you pick up. And there are ways to, you know, I think you or I are people that we do respect who are authentic mediums. If we had to walk around open all the time, I always joke and say they'd need a blotter to pick me up.
Yes. I've heard people say they can't turn it off, and I tell people that must be rather like a hairdryer that you leave on. It's got to burn out sometime.
Right. I had a friend in Boston, and this is funny, because I think sometimes we have to make light of certain things. I had a friend in Boston who was a pretty well-known astrologer and had some mediumship ability, and people used to call her all the time. Finally, she was telling me, one day, a woman called and asked, is this the lady who talks to the dead? And she paused and said, yes, are you dead?
Yes. It's kind of interesting, people's perception of mediumship. You do get them, don't you? Sometimes I've had people come and say, look, if you're in contact with my grandmother, ask her if the guy that I've met, if it's the one I should marry. And I say, why would your grandmother know? Ask if, you know, they'll come along and say, the man that I've just met, is that the one I should marry? You know, they seem to think that the contact spirit and spirit's going to have all the answers and they don't have to do anything themselves.
People don't understand that we can't make decisions for them. We can only pass on the message that's being given to them.
Give the information, then hopefully they're better informed to make their decision.
I love the line that you have in terms of how to, because a lot of people want to interpret what comes through or how does it relate to them, but you always say, give it as you get it.
Absolutely. I learned that really the hard way. I would spend anguish times trying to fathom out what I was getting. And I would, you know, the classic one I've said many times too is I'd see a dolphin. And I'd be saying, do you know, did you like the series Flipper? Did you watch, you know? And it would always go wrong. But when I said, what is it about a dolphin, or you know something about a dolphin, they got it. Because I, the medium, don't understand it.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. It's not my message.
That's right.
It's the greatest thing if people give, no matter how absurd it sounds, if they give what they get, how they get it, they won't be far wrong. But everyone wants to understand, put their spin on it, and that's where we go wrong. And it's about building up trust with spirit, and that doesn't come overnight either.
No,
it doesn't. Why should they trust us overnight? Why should we trust them overnight?
Now, have you found, over the years, I don't do it anymore, but I've worked on police cases. Have you ever found that spirit will either avoid the truth or say something that isn't true because they don't want to get someone in trouble?
I sometimes found where people are saying to me, can you tell us this or can they tell us that, where we don't get an answer. I've not had them tell a lie or put something wrong, but yes, I've had it where they won't answer. And one classic that I remember was somebody who'd been murdered came through and said to their parents that everyone knew who had done it, but nobody could prove it. But this person came through and said, don't worry, there's a bigger justice than the human justice. When in time they were standing in front of me and explained why they took my life.
Wow.
That was kind of very humbling. So, yes, we have a number of us work alongside police, even if that's not always going to be documented. You know, it's a fact. But I think you'll find is that we here on the earth plane are the ones that want all the answers. And although you'll get information, I've not seen it where they will, you know, suddenly blurt out where somebody's getting a job, because there's a bigger justice, there's a bigger law in practice. I mean, some of these small sayings or things like everything happens for a reason.
Right.
There's absolute truth in them.
Absolutely. There are no coincidences.
Even when you don't see the reason, as you said in the opening, sometimes things happen in your life and you wonder why you're going through it.
Right.
I think even the worst things that happen end up giving us something that we can use at another time.
Right. Or even now.
Right.
Now, I didn't tell the audience, but I am speaking to you. You're in the UK. You're in England.
Right.
You grew up in the UK.
Correct.
I think the UK was ahead of us in terms of spiritualism and having availability to teachers, the spiritualist church.
Well, I mean, we know the history of spiritualism per se. in modern day spiritualism, of course, it goes back centuries, but modern day spiritualism, of course, yes, originated in America. I think what happened in Victorian and later Europe, England in particular, is that we wanted to know more. We got more people trying to understand, scientists, well-known people who really wanted to know how it worked, took it apart as best they can in trying to understand it. So I think there was a time when we had better, if you like, development circles and classes and schools. I'm not sure that that's strictly the case now, because thank goodness there's been such an interest that in general, I'm going to say the acceptance and understanding that there's more to this one life has become grown. So I think that, you know, other countries now have just as good teaching. It has been traditionally for a long time that we had here in England probably more classes, more people willing to teach. And that's another thing. Not everyone who's willing to teach makes a good teacher. I think they're quite separate things.
And everyone who's learning doesn't necessarily make a good student.
Right, right. That's true. But I think that not every medium necessarily makes a good teacher. You know, I think we get some mediums who are brilliant in public work. Some are absolutely fantastic in one-to-one private consultations. And some are good teachers. But it seems that everyone who's worked once as a medium now wants to do classes. And I'm not sure. It takes a lot of patience, I think, to deal with people who are questioning, probably like me, you were one of those why children, why, the constant questions.
You know, for me, as a child, I always thought that everyone could sense things about other people. It just, because it seems so natural, I thought, well, I guess everybody does. It wasn't, and I was a child performer. I was singing, I was 7 years old. I was singing at a Holocaust memorial service. They had to put a milk crate up to the podium so I could reach the microphone. And I was used to making people happy. And when I started singing these lullabies that were sung to children in the camps, I looked out, and many of the people were survivors of the Holocaust. I looked out, and I saw them as they were in the camps, shaven heads, emaciated, and I closed my eyes. And I kept closing my eyes, and all of a sudden, the year before my maternal grandfather had passed on, I saw him in my mind's eye. And he looked young and vibrant and healthy. And at that moment, I said to myself, there's something more to life than this.
Right. And for me, it was on a personal level, I couldn't believe that this life was all. You know,
right.
I said this to myself when I really wanted to know these experiences I was getting, what they were about. I said, it's even the most fantastic truth that life continues, or the most wicked lie. Mm. And that was my start of my investigation.
In your book, We Are Eternal, you talk about how skeptical you were when you first began the journey.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's good to have, well, healthy skeptics, not probably cynicism. I think you should always question everything because you will get the answers. You know, many things along my path in my developments and all the things I'm doing, you know, I question. You know, I had a big thing early on with wanting to know, you know, being brought up as a Christian. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know what happened to suicides. After all, we were taught that was a bad thing.
Right.
And, you know, I, for quite a period, had a number of people coming to me. In fact, I began to think they were all handing out my name. One after the other would have somebody who had taken themselves over, which is what I call suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But even though all the details were unique to each sit-in, each reading, there was a common thread running through in that each of these people returned with somebody who had just passed, you know, naturally with an illness or a health condition. And it suddenly dawned on me that they weren't in any bad place, that they were all together, that what I'd been told that they were going to hell was complete nonsense.
Right.
You know, to this end, I don't condemn suicides. I don't condone it because I realize it's a choice. Often, though, I find they regret not necessarily what they've done to themselves, but they see the mess they've left behind.
Right, how painful it is for the survivors.
For those, yes.
Survivors. I know. And it's I've often received the question from clients who'll say, well, I've been tripped. I mean, I was in the office once, and a woman was coming, and I didn't realize that her brother had taken his own life, and mm-hmm. he didn't even want to talk to her. And he literally tripped me. I was on the floor. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in for a treat. But he didn't want to talk to his sister. Of course, I've been tripped walking into funeral homes. I remember walking to go to a wake. And I was walking up the steps, and all of a sudden I felt something from behind push me, and I fell on the steps. Has anything ever happened to you?
Well, I've had things where things have we were for a long time in New York, and one place I stayed at, whenever it was very odd, whenever it was young males coming through, particularly young males or strong young people, the television would come on while I was sitting talking to their relatives in my hotel room. And it would come on, and first time I thought, power surge, that's my skepticism. Second or third time, what is wrong with this television set? We had it moved, the television set, into the bedroom from the suite room, from the lounge. It still came on. It still came on. And it was when there was a particular strong energy, which over time I realized tended to be with younger people that are passed. I don't know. I haven't worked out why particularly them, but maybe it's a stronger energy or determination to do something physical. For many people, hearing something, they'll try to explain it away, or, you know, you get all kind of answers to what is happening. A lot of people think seeing is believing. I don't know if that was the case, but the television used to come on. I moved hotels after a number of years. We moved.
Really?
It happened at another hotel, so it wasn't anything, you know, physical. So these kind of things do happen. There is an energy, which I think a lot of people are aware of, but most people don't understand it. That's the difference. I think people are more aware, but some people, A, don't want to know. Being a medium is not for everyone. That's quite clear.
I think you have to have...
the sensitivity of a deer, you're dealing with people and their emotions, and you better have the hide of a rhino, because for sure you could find a million other things to do that would be an easier a way of getting through this life.
Now, you've done other things before you went into this professionally.
Well, as a young person, I was in advertising. My first job, because I wanted to work with animals, I tell everyone, whether they want to hear it or not, I much prefer animals to people.
I have a dear friend who is a Native American chief, and he says the same thing.
Well, I went, first of all, I was working at the London Zoo as a teenager. My goal was to be a veterinarian, but you know, there was no way that I was going to do all that training You know, it's really quite a long process. So I worked first on weekends as a sort of summer job, and then I got it full time. I went in that. Then, of course, I had antique shops, and it got to the point.
You did some
though,
performing too, didn't you?
Yes, I was at the amateur drama school when I was still at school. A lot of our kind of TV stars here in England came from that. They were all there at the same time as me. But what happened for me with the antique shops is that they were very successful, but it got to the point where I was serving spiritualist churches here in England at the same time, and it got to the point where I had to make a choice. Do I do the churches? Do I do the spiritual work? Or do I continue the antique work? Anyone who knows me, New York, Switzerland, anyway, will know that my time off when I'm not working, when I'm all the traveling I've done in these past 45 years, working as a medium, when I'm not working, I'm at a flea market.
Now,
or I'm, that's my way of relaxing.
Interestingly, I mean, I've taken classes to antique stores and teaching them psychometry to put their hands over a specific article. And there are two histories, the history of the actual article, whether it's a vase or whatever antique or piece of antique furniture. So there's the history of the article itself, and then a history of who it belonged to.
Right.
So it's fascinating.
People think that that exercise, you know, a lot of people do that kind of exercise in their classes, and they kind of skim over it. But you know what? You could, as you well know, you could do psychometry for years and just get better and better and better at it. But people would sort of do it once and say, oh, that's it. It's just a feeling. It's not. If you are a competent psychometrist, it's amazing what you can tell. I had a teacher, Ivy Northage. Somewhere in the BBC, there is a film of this. Years ago, they placed it on television. They filmed this, and they put a rock in front of her. That was it. So they told her, well, psychometrize that. She not only told the history of the article, but traced it right back to Vesuvius. And it was a piece of lava from Vesuvius. And she got the place, the location, everything correct. And the people from the museum where it came from confirmed it all after. Prior to that, no one had any clue. It was an experiment that was filmed. And, you know, when you get that, you're going to say, well, what are the chances of somebody feeling all that? So you really can perfect it. Just doing those lessons will sharpen some of your ability, will awaken it. But you do have to continually work at it to to really get good or great.
Refined.
Yeah. And the same with mediumship. You know, people tell me they do now these courses and they get a certificate. And, you know, it's nice, you get a certificate, but what is it worth if... if you're not doing what a medium's supposed to do, and that is to prove that life continues, which is essentially what a medium is supposed to do.
To prove that the soul is eternal,
life continues,
that life continues, that our loved ones watch over us. And that, I think, that brings comfort and solace to those whose loved ones have passed on.
Well, when you grasp the whole meaning... that life is not extinguished like a candle flame, and you realize that there is something after this, it should absolutely have a positive effect how you deal with one another here and now.
Right.
You know, because
Robert,
we just don't finish. Go ahead.
We're going to take a short break. Doug, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to give people a chance to call in at 888-627-6008 if you'd like to talk to Robert. Who knows, he may have a message for you. So, Doug, we're going to take a little break, okay?
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115.
Hi, this is Cindy Gilman, and you're listening to Discover Your Potential with one of my favorite people in the world, British medium, world-renowned, he travels all over the world, Robert Brown, British medium. I am so happy that you're on the air with me today.
Oh, thank you, Cindy.
The only thing is, I keep coughing, and I'm wondering if someone's having a problem with coughing. Might be somebody.
Yeah.
Do you know who
it is? I could take that anyway. I'm not just saying that I could take that, but I'll tell you another time.
Okay. I understand we have a caller on the air. So would you give your first name so that Robert can pick up the vibration of your voice? Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Norma.
Hi, Norma.
Hi, Robert.
Would you like to ask?
So how can I help?
Well, I was just wondering, I have two favorite people that have passed, and I'm just wondering if they're watching over me.
Well, you know what, Norma? What I got then, as soon as you said Norma, I got a lady, kind of a jolly lady, almost like a mother figure, only that I felt that she was immediately laughing, as if you thought of this person, she'd be somebody who was good at a joke, hands were crossed across her stomach. She was laughing. And it just seemed to be as if she was like, she felt that she had been asked to come, or she said, I was coming anyway. I see her smiling, sort of roundish face smiling, but I do know that she either lost weight, lost energy just before she passed.
Do you know who that is, Norma?
I hope that was one of the people that I was hoping that would come through. Yes, it was a very dear aunt who was like a mother to me.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't actually saying mother, because usually we'll get, oh, this is mother. But she seemed like a mother. She was laughing. But, you know, I think you don't realize something, that you're much more in contact with her than you realize. When you think of her and you think, well, I don't know if she heard me, or I don't know if, you know, I'm going to say yes, she does, because she said to me, I was asked to come, but I was coming anyway. And I really feel you could get away with a lot more with this aunt. She'd be more indulgent with you than your own mother.
Interesting.
You know, because she just seems, I think some people could mistake her for a mother for you, but I know it's not your mother, you know. And I do think this lady would kind of take your side. She has quite sparkling eyes, and I feel that they're kind of mischievous, but in a kind of positive way. She'd see the fun side of things. And I think she would very much like to encourage you. Now, there is also a gentleman, and I went straight to the chest with the gentleman. So I felt that he would have passed with either a heart, chest condition. I'm actually going up to my heart.
Does that make sense to you, Norma?
That could be my dad, because although he didn't pass from the chest, he had a heart condition most of his life.
Right. Yeah. I think that it certainly is something that he was and other people were aware of that may have impacted him, like in the breathing, in the slowing down. He's quite a strong person. Now, I have to say, I think your dad is here for you. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily to see me, the medium. In his lifetime, I don't think he was somebody who would go and see a medium.
No.
You'd probably say, I never thought I'd be talking to someone like this.
And so what's interesting for me in that point, if this is your dad and your aunt and you had thought of them, it kind of indicates to me that they're really letting you know that they do hear you when you think of them, because everyone thinks this communication is about the spoken word. And it isn't. It's our intention. And if we think the right things, like so often we say, I really need some help here, I need some assistance here, they'll step forward. Just because we say, I want you to come and prove yourself, that doesn't often happen. What have they got to prove?
Right.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing is, both of these people are strong people, each in their own way. And so, Norma, what I'm telling you, not just because they're relatives, but you're attracting the characteristic of strong people. And I often find like attracts, but in this case, I feel that you're attracting strong people because you're at this particular time in your journey having to learn to put your foot down and say no to some people around you.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to you, Norma?
It does. It actually does.
Yeah. It's not saying, no, I'm not going to help you, or no, I'm not going to do it. But I feel that for once, Norma has to put Norma first. That's not your personality, but you do need to do that, apparently. And so I feel these people are reinforcing. Strong people coming forward to help you be strong for you. And I also, I tell you, I was telling Cindy about this the other day. Sometimes I get, and I gave Spirit permission to give me little images. In your case, I get flower buds all around you, like things opening up. So I feel this year, there's a potential, it's not about fortune telling, but this year has the potential of a lot of things opening up for you, and some things that you've been not only waiting for, but kind of hoping for or putting off in the past. It's almost like things are there to open up if you have the strength to follow them, to see them through. I hope that makes
sense. Norma?
I am taking this all in because...
Okay, well, thanks. Thanks for calling it.
Thank you very much, Robert. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Nice to speak to you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, you know what's happened? Because I truly believe that we continually develop. You know, the people that say to me, oh, I'm a medium now, I'm 45 years, nothing to learn. I don't have too much time for them because I believe we're continually, I like practicing medium because we're continually practicing and we are forever developing. A few years ago, I gave permission, I said to Spirit, if I can't hear something or if there's a word I don't know or if there's something you can't get across or whatever reason you can't use my clairvoyance or clairaudience, give me an image or picture. In return, I promised to give that picture, however absurd, however crazy, I offered to relay it. And you know what? I do that, and that's trust. Because sometimes I've said some crazy thing thinking someone's going to bam me in the mouth or something. And I said something, like a cartoon, and the people have gone, I absolutely get that. And I'm going, really? Really? Because I don't. And that's that. So sometimes they'll do it in an image that will really, it's like a psychic shorthand, if you want to call it that.
Right.
But Spirit will do that. But more often than not, I'm working clairvoyantly and seeing the people. The aunt there that I just mentioned, I kind of saw her smiling face as if it was like, well, she asked for me, but I'm coming, but I find this fun.
I want to give out the phone number again for people who would like to call in. It's 888-627-6008. This is Cindy Gilman. My very special guest today is world-renowned British medium Robert Brown. Now, you, for the last several years, you have organized an annual retreat.
Right. Well, it actually started 2000. We had them for 13, 14 years in the Bahamas. So many people, I mean, sometimes we had 120, 140, sometimes 60. So we're in the Bahamas for 14 years and sometimes twice a year. This was for people who want to know more about mediumship and healing. Not just the people who are mediums and healers, but often people who'd lost loved ones who wanted to understand or to know more about what it entails and how it works, and also people who were just interested. We had some people would come along and just say, no, I don't do any of this, but I want to support. So it was a whole mixture. It was open to everyone. The mediumship development classes also we had. In recent years, the last 3 years or so, we've been in the ARE, in Edgar Cayce's center in Virginia Beach. And
oh,
the last 2 years, we've had them in Wales, in a mansion house in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
This year's proposal is going to be in a beautiful mansion, again in England, quite near, but it's quite nice for Americans because it's going to connect with the 450th year of the sailing of the Mayflower. So it'll be kind of a special time to be here in England.
So that would be when, in June?
Yes, that'll be up on the website shortly.
And we have another caller on the line. Hello, you're on with Robert Brown and Cindy Gilman. Welcome.
Hi, Robert. I'm Dr. Hope Kelman. I wanted to ask you, I'm publishing a book right now called Fractions of Divine Matrix, and I wanted to see if you had any feelings about it.
What is it about?
Sorry, what was the title again?
Fractions of Divine Matrix.
Okay.
Factors
Can you
of
tell
Divine
us a little
Matrix?
Bit? No, Divine mm-hmm. Nature, I think it was.
No, Divine Matrix.
Yeah,
Matrix.
Oh, Matrix. I'm sorry. Okay.
So what is the nature of the book?
Well, I'd like to speak with him because I've been a very long time a medium myself. Do you mind if I just communicate with him for
not
a minute?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. I think that there's a lot of work got into this because when you started speaking then, I think there's a lot gone into this, not just from you. And my one concern, when I get a lot of people around you, is that I think that it's very well researched. I think that some people are going to absolutely get it. A lot of people, it's gonna stretch them. Because is this the case where you've gone at it? I feel like you've been at it a while. And maybe even
right.
gone back to it and changed some things. And like, as things have become apparent... And, you know, for you opening it, because you've trod that path, you know exactly what it's all about. To the average person,
mm-hmm.
it's quite in-depth. But I feel that it's going to be more of interest and use for the serious studier. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is
mm-hmm.
a book that people pick up just to find out, oh, what does a medium do? Or what does, you know, how does that work? I feel this is something where it's a piece of the puzzle that for those who already have
Robert,
working
you're
knowledge.
Going in and out.
Okay, sorry. Those who have working knowledge, it will,
can we
you
fix
know, like
his
be a key,
audio?
Keystone.
I can hear him. I can
okay.
hear you, Richard.
So
I can
here's what I'm getting. I'm not going to say it's as important. I'm not going to raise that. But I just said to Spirit, give me something that it explain what this will mean to some people. And it said, and I got, it will be their Rosetta Stone.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Robert, I look forward to seeing you one day. Thank you.
I hope so.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Doug, do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, Lynn.
Hello?
Hi there, Cindy. Hello, Robert. It's Lynn from the Bahamas from many years ago.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you then because we had an overseas. Say it again, Lynn.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Lynn Jankowski.
Hello.
Hi, Robert.
And I think you were on one of our retreats, Lynn.
Yes, I was on two of them, and they were memorable, and you're a treasure to me, Robert. You're one of my first teachers. And I'm humbled by you, and I've kept a lot of what you've said along my own journey. So I
you know, I always tell people, keep what's useful and disregard what doesn't apply.
Right, right.
Do you remember
so
which year you
maybe
you'll
go to the retreat in the UK.
No,
yes,
I'm just wondering, Lynn, which one did you come to?
I went to the ones in the Bahamas.
Bahamas, yeah. And probably
one
of the early
ones
then, huh?
The next one is going to be in the UK.
I think I've only gone to the two in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I don't like to fly. I'm not a great flyer.
Right.
And that was a big deal for me. I remember going down there, but I so enjoyed it. I learned so much. I have wonderful memories that'll last me in my life from that experience, those two experiences. I do have a question for you, Robert.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Let me ask you something first.
Yes, yes.
Just before you say anything, I'm getting a tremendous amount of yellow around you, and that's, you know, the creative color.
Oh.
So there must be something going on with you, but go ahead with your question.
Well, my question is, when a medium, a practicing medium, goes through a deep amount of grief, when they lose their mom, like so when your mother passed, how did it affect your life and the way you did readings, and did you take time away, and were you changed after all of that?
I remember when that particular incident happened, and certainly friends of mine said, oh, this is going to change everything. No, it didn't change because I had a good understanding. In fact, I was the one who wanted to stay with my mother because I thought I was the one that knew everything. And it didn't work out that way. When my mother passed, I had left in the morning as one of my sisters, who actually didn't really want to be there, walked in. And over time, I got to understand that she needed to experience that. I didn't. So it's not about what we want. It's what the people who are passing want. So I didn't then. But I will tell you an up-to-date one. And that's this. Recently, over the Christmas, my friend here was diagnosed very ill 2 days or so before Christmas, and we didn't say anything to anyone because we didn't want to spoil their Christmas. And I had to suddenly come to terms with this could happen in a week, a month, or at best months. And, you know, it made me really think a lot of things about I have to do things for me and not be always around for someone, other people all the time on call. So I have taken some time out, which is why I've not been traveling for the last few months. As it happens, just to round that story up, we got news after there was a sort of a misdiagnosis, and things are still bad, but they're not as, you know, as bad as what they were telling us. So I'm beginning to plan things. I said earlier that everything happens for a reason, and I think that even though there are things we don't want to go through, there are things we don't want to deal with, I believe there's nothing that we can't deal with. And that we, you know, that we become stronger. Actually, one of your American mediums, a great friend of mine, I think many of you know him, John Edwards, said to me, you know, he's been great with me. My friends and colleagues have been very supportive over this time. And he said to me, I'm not sure everything that you're going through, but I just know that you're going to emerge from this so much better for your clients and the people that need to speak with you. And it's true, because it going through something yourself helps you to also understand what people are going through.
Right. It gives
it's one thing having an ability. It's that empathy.
You
know,
much.
The difference between a doctor and a good doctor.
Mm-hmm. And a doctor and a healer.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in, dear.
Thank you, Robert. Much love to you.
Thank you,
Lynn. Thank you, Cindy, for hosting Robert.
Oh, my pleasure. My delight. Robert, we only have a moment, so I want to give people your website address or your email address.
Well, let's do the website. You know, it's www.robertbrown-medium.com. There you go.
Okay. And so if you'd like to contact Robert, his book, which I recommend highly, is called We Are Eternal, What the Spirits Tell Me About Life After Death by Robert Brown. Some wonderful information. Robert, wow. I can't thank you enough. I hope you'll come back before the retreat so we can talk about it and have people
Absolutely.
Sign up for it. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you for the...
Cindy, thank you. And thank you for all the work you do, too.
That's important to me, coming from you.
And you know what? I just think we got Nicky came in there. And
did you hear that?
He just rubbed the back of your head.
And I felt it. Did you feel it in your neck?
Well, I felt it like somebody ruffling the back of my hair, but I thought he's doing that
right.
to you.
No, it's to both of us, because I've got
yeah.
goosebumps. Right. Thank you, Nikki. Happy belated birthday, Nikki. Nikki came to me. I know we've only got a minute. Nikki came to me last week wearing a birthday hat and said, call my father. Of course, he said that to me before. And I called Dave, and I said, well, your son's doing a call. Please call my father. And he's wearing a birthday hat. I said, is it Nikki's birthday today? And he goes, it's my birthday today.
And you know what? We don't know this, of course. But I strongly suspect Dave may be listening. And I think this was organized by Spirit.
It's very possible. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of our hour.
Okay.
Thank
All
you
right.
so
Thank you
much,
very
Robert.
Much. Blessings.
My
Bye-bye.
Love to Michael. And my little Valentine, my grandson, Michael, and Doug for all the work he does on BBS Radio. We'll be here next time. And do something nice for yourself. And do something nice for someone else. Bye-bye now. God bless.
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115.
This is the only